Good morning, everyone.
I used to be a beggar and a slave, begging for forgiveness, enslaved by sin's chains. Then you came and you ransomed me. You paid the price for me to be set free. Now I know I'm a new creation, the old has passed away, and I have your very life in me, controlling, guiding, and protecting me. You paid in full, you paid in full. Not with gold or silver, not with precious jewels. You purchased my redemption. Sin no longer rules with your life, paid in full. When I look upon the cross where they nailed you to that tree, I'm in awe of what it is I see. Others see a bloody mess, the magnitude I must confess is how one so perfect could become sin for me. Paid in full, you paid in full. Not with gold or silver, not with precious jewels. You purchased my redemption. Sin no longer rules with your life, paid in full. You paid in full, you paid in full. Not with gold, not with silver, not with precious jewels. You purchased my redemption. Sin no longer rules with your life, paid in
That's a marvelous song. Thank you, Vicki. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you today expecting to see and hear wondrous things out of your word. Give us a real sense of anticipation to hasten and look for the soon appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. These are indeed, Father, the last times. I think most of us are convinced of that. And it's by your Spirit that we know the times and the seasons, the kairos and chronos. We don't know the day or the hour, so Father, we stand ready to lift up our heads, for our redemption draws near. Thank you for the Word of God. It's indeed marvelous. It makes our life worth living. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior. Amen. I've entitled the message this morning, Get Rid of Those Pigeons. No, that's not what it's called. Your redemption draws near, or nigh, as they say as the King James puts it. Sunday, February 28th, 2016. We're just a stone's throw away from spring again. And thank you, Lord, that that winter was so mild and that Sundays have been so beautiful. There's been so many beautiful Sundays this winter. And I think maybe God does that to commemorate the resurrection of Christ. You think? I think he's always based everything on what Christ is, who Christ is, and what he's done. Indeed he has. So, Colossians 4:5 is our text. And to introduce that, we'll start with Isaiah 55:1. If you can do that, if you're ambidextrous. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Your right hand know what your left hand's doing. So you can fidget through everything. Isaiah 55:1 says, ho! Give me your attention. Full attention. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You know, his voice was like many rivers, or like a multitude of waters in its soothing effect and in its eternal inflection, just ringing throughout the earth. Like water rushing down a river or a babbling brook. And you who have no money, anybody here fall into that category? From time to time. But God provides everything that we need, supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We don't have to worry about anything. Oh, you can if you want to, but you don't have to. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Go shopping. You have no money, go shopping. Go buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not food or bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat that which is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. You live on this food. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. I want the mercies of David, don't you? God was so merciful to him. He's the man of mercy, but his gentleness made David great. So, Colossians 4:5 now. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward exo, those without, those outsiders, making the most of your opportunity, or redeeming the time, or buying out for yourself the time, making the most of your time, for the days are evil. It says in Ephesians 5:14, here it's restated, but in a slightly different way, with a slightly different emphasis. It is toward those, taking advantage of your opportunity toward those who are outsiders, so that they might be drawn in by the simplicity and the singularity of your life focus, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, in John 13:34 and 35. Love one another as I have loved you, and by this all men will know that you're my disciples. That's the 11th commandment. You know that? A new commandment I give you. So he added one to the 10, didn't he? Love one another as I have loved you, and by this all men will know that you're my disciples. They don't see that anywhere else except in the church of Jesus Christ. So, he says, in wisdom, or by wisdom, peripateto, walk around. That means conduct your daily life. With regard to those who are outsiders, that is, the unsaved and the unchurched, both, they're outsiders. One, because they don't belong until they believe in Christ. The other, because they don't participate until God drags them in, literally drags them in. Everybody has to be dragged in. There's so many believers that don't think church is important, and it is extremely important. Because you can't use what God's given you unless you belong to a church. That is the gifting of God, the gifting of God, the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. And to learn the necessary skills of the spiritual life, to imitate Jesus Christ, who is the only role model of genuine spirituality. You learn that in the church. As one speaks and the rest sit quietly and listen and contemplate. And hear with spiritual ears, and see with spiritual eyes, wondrous things from His Word. And you say, well, I don't hear too many wondrous things. Well, it's not because the Word has fallen short. It's because you haven't gained those skills, perhaps. Or you think that you can do it by your native intelligence, by your own ability, unaided by the Holy Spirit. And you cannot. You can't even hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Unless you take care to listen properly. For he who has spiritual skills, listening skills, will acquire even more. And those who do not, even what they think they know and understand, will be dissipated. So, by wisdom, walk around, conduct your daily life toward those who are outsiders. Then we have the word, ex agorazo. Now you say, well, don't give us the Greek. Well, I'm going to anyway, because you need to know what the word means. Then you get a better sense of what the verse is saying, what the Lord is saying, what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Ex agorazo, it means to buy out or to buy up. And it's a middle masculine. Second person plural means all of you. And it means to buy up and buy out for yourself. Not for anybody else, but for you. You know how many believers come to church and hear a message, what they consider a good message, say, I wish so-and-so was here. Well, it wasn't for them, it was for you, because you were here and they were not. And they can't experience it like you can. So forget about them. You say, well, why? Aren't we supposed to care about other believers? Sure. Pray for them, that God would crush them, and then they'll come to church eventually. Because they'll know that they desperately require the Word. How blessed you are if you know that. And how you've missed the blessing if you don't. You need it. Like you need air to breathe, water to breathe, air to drink. No, air to breathe, water to drink. How blessed you are if you know your great need. Buy it up for yourself. That is the Kairos time. The time allotted to you. The time given to you. The time that you live here on the earth. Wisdom's like a large department store. Or even a mall, and has many stores, and there are many stops along the way, many things to examine. You need to visit the mall, study the mall, study all the things that you encounter, pursue each one, every item displayed, and buy up whatever you can. That's what you're here for. Buy whatever you want, and take it home. Take it with you. That's what it's all about. That's your life in time. That's how you walk around in wisdom. See, like we studied on Tuesday night, it's time to pray. See, why do we pray? Well, because you don't have, because you don't ask. And some ask, but they ask amiss. They might take what they ask for and spend it on their own desire or lust. No, it's time to buy. You don't need money to buy. You just need positive willingness. That's the coin of the realm. Faith is the coin of the realm. It's time to buy the truth and not sell it. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction at all cost. You need to take time. You need to make time. Make time work in your favor. Spend time. Buy time. Do it on time, in time. You got to do time. You know what it means to do time? It means you're here and make the most of your time. You're going to do time. It's not hammer time or howdy doody time. So you would think it was by the way some people walk around. Daytime, nighttime, wrong time, right time. Real time. It's time to get real. Realize the critical nature and character of the day that we live in. It's extremely critical and opportune. It's an exciting time to be alive. Time is of the essence. That is, every day is important. And timing is everything. That's wisdom. The essence of wisdom is timing. Doing the right thing at the right time in the right way makes it right. Doing the right thing at the wrong time makes it wrong. Has to be according to God's timing. Time is of the essence. Timing is everything. Put your time and times in God's hands. My times are in His hands, David said. I want the sure mercies of David, don't you? Well, part of that is recognizing, realizing that your times are in His hands, and you commit your way to the Lord, and He'll bring it to pass. And when you eventually delight in Him, He'll give you the desires of your heart. And you don't have because you don't ask. So don't hesitate to ask God for the things you need. Doesn't He already know what I need before I ask Him? Yes, but He wants to have a relationship with you, so He wants you to ask. Did your dad give you everything that you wanted if you didn't ask? No. Dad, could I have the car? Don't take it without asking. Because then he might hurt you. He might use that big finger of his and poke you in the chest, like my dad used to do. I think of him fondly and the discipline that he exacted upon his children, though his heart was so kind and he loved us so much. It was a wonderful way to grow up. Although I rebelled against it, didn't understand it, and didn't appreciate it at all, now I do because I'm old. And I have those little ones that are grandchildren, and I can show them that kindness. Even though I might have missed it at some junctures with my own. It wasn't around nearly enough. But that's the advantage of buying the truth, not selling it. So, the scripture says, it's time to walk around in wisdom. It's never too soon, never too late to do so. It's high time, it says, to awake out of sleep. Wake up! Some people, Sunday mornings are rough, but it's a test. Sunday mornings are a test. Some people say, I can't come on Sunday morning. I'm just exhausted. I'm too tired. Come anyway. Because if you don't, you're going to miss something that's essential for the events of your life in the upcoming days, weeks, or months. Honestly, I discovered that when I backed off for a period of about a year. Before that, I went all the time, and after that, I went even more. I considered it even more important to eliminate the possibility of doing it again. Because once you do it a little, it becomes easier and easier to do it. And then you end up in that category called those who forsake the assembling of themselves together and becomes the bad habit of some. And rather, you'll do it much more often because of the times that you live in. You see the days as being very critical and opportune. So, It's time to wake out of sleep. It's not time. It's no time to back off, to peel off. It's time to lay off every impedance and wait and the sin that so easily besets us and run with endurance the race that is set before us. That's Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. Yeah. Somewhere around there. So the time you're given in life is yours. God gave it to you. And how you use it is up to you. Truly it is. You make those decisions. You don't decide whether or not you're going to be born in human history or when you're going to die, but you can have a long life if you keep dating wisdom. Sophia. That's the Greek word for wisdom, in case you don't know that. So keep on taking her out. Meet her every morning at the gate. Waiting daily at her gates. So, the time you're given is yours, and how you use it is up to you. Don't waste it. Rather, invest it, because time is money. So, invest it wisely in the things that will endure, the things that last, the things of the utmost urgency and importance. You need to pay your tithe. Come on. Of time. Time is the tithe. If time is money, then time is the tithe. God wants you to pay your tithe of time. Pay it forward. Because you're investing in eternity, in the future. Lay up a good future for yourself. Save time? How do you save time? By waiting on the Lord. You can save time by waiting on the Lord. Not being impetuous, not jumping into something before the timing is right. But just wait upon the Lord. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength, will renew their youth. They'll mount up on wings like eagles. They'll walk and not be weary and run and not faint. God loves to pour his power into the powerless. So you wait upon the Lord. Wait, I say, upon the Lord, and everything will be fine. But get ahead of them or lag too far behind, and things won't go real well. I can assure you, as most of us already know. So there's enough time left for every one of us, because we're still alive and well, still fog a mirror. So there's still enough time for us to make good time. It's not about how you started. Leave that go. It's about how you finish. And every one of us has an equal opportunity to finish well. No matter what you've done, where you've been, how sloppy you've been in the past, how lazy you've been in the past, that is, in regard to spiritual things and doing yourself harm rather than helping your own self and soul by getting the word in there so that your soul is enriched rather than impoverished. So, there's enough time to make still to make good time. But remember, time is running out. It'll all be over before we know it. None of us are too young. A few of you are younger than the rest of us, but we don't have all that much time left. So let's buy up the time in the evil day. Buy up the time toward those who are outside so that we might have impact and go to heaven having had impact through the Word, having the abiding virtue of Christ in faith, hope, and love that commands, that commends us to God for reward. You're going to wish you had the rewards when you see those who are decorated with them. You'll say, man, I wish I could have had them. Oh, I should have had them and I would have had them. Oh, but I don't. Why? Because I didn't think it was important. I thought other things were far more important. I thought people were so important. And here Christ was important. And I didn't give him nearly the level of importance that was due to him. So, you know, time flies when you're having fun. But it crawls when you're not. Is your life going speedily? Then you must be having fun. You must be a happy person. You must be a happy camper or a happy camper. And you're pressing on to the mark of the prize of the upward summons of God in Christ Jesus, and time's going to fly. You'll dwell in eternity. He says, I, the Lord, dwell in eternity, along with him who's of a contrite spirit, contrite and broken heart, one who needs me and clings to me, cleaves to me. And then he dwells in eternity, too, because time has nothing to offer. This world has nothing to offer. Oh, it does have opportunity, but in that opportunity, we cleave to God because we know that apart from him, we can do nothing that counts, nothing that lasts, nothing that endures to eternal life. Oh, you work for bread, but it's not bread that endures. So do a little work for the bread that endures. That's not a work strip, but that's the works of faith, the labors of love, and the steady production of hope. So that you might leave this world with a, what, Terry? Satisfied mind. There you go. That's Bob Dylan. He knew right where I was. Satisfied. We never talk about that. Thank you, thank you. He telling me stuff this morning I don't even remember ever reading in the Bible. I got to go back. He challenges me every thinking time. Oh, thank you, Lord, for Terry. His puppy died. So you got to give your condolences to him. Sweet Pea. Sweet Pea's gone. She went to heaven. Now, most dogs don't, but she did. We like to think of our pets as going to heaven, and we'll see them, too, because they are our friends. Oh, there'll be so much more there that won't matter to you at all, although there will be animals, probably better ones. Oh, glorified animals. All right. I like that. Your dog won't live 16 years. Your dog will live 1,000 years. Maybe, no, probably less than that, because animals don't live as long as people, in the millennium even. Because men will live 1,000 years, so pets will live a couple hundred. That'll be nice. Then you'll really miss them when they go. Oh, my. But you can get another one just like it. And give it the same name, perhaps. I've seen people do that. It's a little sick. Anyway, so... We're paying our tithe of time. We're paying it forward. We're saving time by waiting on the Lord. There's enough time to make good time. Time is running out. Time flies when you're having fun and crawls when you're not. Then the Bible talks about times, time, and half a time. What's that? That's two times, one time, and a half a time. That's 3.5 years. It'll be a time of intense and concentrated events. That is, Jacob's trouble comes upon the earth. We won't be here for that. And even though time is either extended or condensed, depending on the action and activity upon the earth of God and man, time is just a dot on the line of eternity. And as soon as you leave this world, you're in eternity, and so is everyone else. Because eternity is not depend on time. Time only depends on eternity for the short stay upon the earth, for the full extent of human history. Now, I believe that as soon as you die, you're glorified with everyone else, because eternity doesn't depend on time. There's no sequence of events in eternity. None. The work was finished from before the foundation of the world, wasn't it? Right? Right? Was. I checked with Judy to make sure I'm okay. It was. From the before the foundation of the world. You were foreknown, predestinated, called, justified, glorified before the foundation of the world. So just in the mind of God? No, in all reality, in eternity. So when you die, you're there. I used to think, well, what happens to us between now and then? Well, there's no sequence of time. So we go immediately into eternity when everyone else is there. You say, well, don't we go to the judgment seat of Christ? Yeah, that happens afterwards. for a period of time, there's equality. Then there's inequality because of capacity only. Desire and capacity. Desire here, capacity that results and that receives the blessings of eternity. And glorious humanity that is made capable of wonderful pleasures and blessings forevermore. So great are they that you can't get them here. Some of them you can glimpse, the rest you have to wait to get. So, time is a dot. Time is a lot given to you. It's allotted to you. Every day is numbered. That's Psalm 139:16. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, that is, before I ever was born. And in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. That means that eternity is superimposed over time. Time is an illusion in many senses. It goes from the sunrise to the sunset. In eternity, there's no need of the moon or the sun. No clocks, no appointments, no deadlines. Because the lamp is the Lamb. He shines, you're occupied with Him. Not with time. Time's a terrible distraction. Time deceives people into living for time rather than for eternity. For investing in time rather than eternity. Oh, you can invest in time, but make sure you've invested in eternity first. So time is allotted to every one of us, and every day is numbered. In Psalm 90, verse 4, it says, 1,000 years in your sight, Lord, are like yesterday as it passes by, or they're like a watch in the night. That's a few hours there when, you know, nothing's stirring, not even a mouse. And you watch. It's the watch of the night. Early a.m. 3, 4, 5 in the morning. So, what's the result of that? Or what should that make us desire? Or what should that lead us to do? To number our days. Same psalm. Psalm 90, verse 12. That's Matt's verse he gave me. When we first came here, I believe. And boy, did that one stick like glue. It says, all of our days are numbered, so teach me to number my days, that I might present unto you a heart filled with wisdom. You'll be so glad that you did, because the stakes are so high. Teach us to number our days, Psalm 90:12. A day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day to God. Why? Because He dwells in eternity. And there is no time in eternity. You know, very popular hymn, Amazing Grace, says when we've been there 10,000 years, you're not going to be there 10,000 years. It's a moment. It's an eternal moment. There's no time involved. There's no 10,000 years in eternity. That's human viewpoint of eternity, and that's not how it works. Think about eternity. While you're here in time, it'll change the way you live in time. Honestly, it will. Because eternity's the issue of your life in time. Time is not the issue, but eternity is. And if you live properly adjusted to eternity, you'll live just fine in time. You'll be so heavenly minded, you'll be earthly and heavenly good. People say, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. That's not true. Can't be. As long as you're focused on the right things that are heavenly, like the person from heaven, Jesus Christ, waiting for Him. Those who have this hope purify themselves even as He is pure. 1 John 3:3. So, teach us to number our days. And if a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day, I believe the 3 days will find us raised. Say, what? I'll show you what I mean. 3 days, and we'll be raised. 3 days remain from the coming of Christ to the end of time. What happens after the second day? Oh, at some point He comes on the third day. Three is a very important number. Three is the number of divine perfection. Father, Son, and Spirit. Body, soul, and spirit, man created in the image and likeness of God. Faith, hope, and love, those three that abide. Wood, hay, and stubble, that which burns. Or gold, silver, and precious stones, that which remains. And so many other things. As far as that goes, and I'll show you some of them. So, whether it's after two, right after two, or before the third expires, the Bible doesn't tell us. But we know the times and seasons, though we don't know the day or the hour. Nevertheless, your salvation is drawing near, and it's nearer than when you first believed. You have to have that sense of urgency and anticipation. Romans 13:11. And that knowing the time, it's now high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Luke 21:28. Jesus said this, but when these things begin to take place. What things? Different signs. He's giving you birth pangs. Not the end, but things leading up to the end. Trends leading up to the end. Straighten up. That's a good one. Hey, straighten up. And look up. Lift up your heads. Because your redemption draws near. Revelation 3:14. Just listen to this. Don't strive with it. Just listen to this. This is, once again, we've done this many times, but I just want you to hear it again. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. I won't say well done because you didn't do well. How do you do well? By paying attention to the word as though it was the only light in an otherwise pitch black place. You do well till the day dawns and the day star rises in your heart. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy. Dan, be careful, because Dan, the only problem Dan has is separating 20s. That's his big problem in life. They stick together, he said. I'm kidding. He does that just in gratitude and grace orientation. And it's probably true, too, because his fingers don't work like they used to. See. I used to be able to feel 2 20s and know I had two. Now I'm not quite as sensitive to money. Anyway, so he says, because I am rich, that's a joke. Don't, a bad one, but a joke nonetheless. I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And you do not know that you're wretched. That word wretched, I love that word, don't you? You're wretched. Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am. Who can deliver me from this dead body? But you are wretched, whew, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire. Gold refined by fire. That's money. That's real money. So that you may become rich. And white garments, so that you may clothe yourself. And the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and I shall have to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I correct and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and change your mind. Repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he together with me. He who overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne. What incentive. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In Hosea 6:2, turn there, please. I want you to mark this and see it. This is an important third day event in the Bible that's being prophesied and is written under inspiration by Hosea, the final prophet to the 10 northern tribes before they were dispersed, salted and scattered throughout the earth. Long before they ended up in the United States of America, I'll call Ephraim. You Ephraimite Jew. Hosea 6:2. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day that we may live before him. That means live eternally before him. There are 15 major third-day events in the Bible. First of all, of course, Jesus rose from the dead on the third day after his death. It says in Acts 10:40, God raised him from the dead on the third day. That was prophesied. And it's called the only sign that will be given to Israel. For Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. That's Matthew 12:40. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, in the heart of the earth. So, a Bible pattern. This sets a pattern. I told you three is the number of divine perfection, but it's a pattern in the Word of God. It's when a spiritual truth stated in one part of the Bible is repeated in a similar fashion in many different parts of the Bible, passages of the Bible, and yet another portion of the Bible, so many of them, that have three as that which is their common denominator. Examine the third day patterns. The first 2 days don't tell the whole story. The third day is always the conclusion. On the third day, the land was separated from the water. The earth brought forth vegetation, seed-bearing plants of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit. That's Genesis 1:12. On the third day, Abraham, when he was taking Isaac to offer him, looked up and saw the place, Mount Moriah, from afar. There he intended to offer his son Isaac as a burnt offering to God, yet he assures his companions, we will worship and return. That's Genesis 22:4-5. On the third day, Pharaoh released his chief cupbearer from death row. There's salvation because of the grace of God. Salvation by grace and through faith. Genesis 40:20-21. Joseph is a type of Jesus Christ the deliverer. On the third day, Joseph releases his brothers from prison in Egypt. They're in prison, living a lie until they confess that what they did was evil, and Joseph forgives them all, as Christ did. As the offer of forgiveness, and forgiveness is offered to all, is extended to all, but those who believe get it. On the third day, the Israelites request Pharaoh's permission to make a 3-day journey to offer sacrifice in the desert to God. Of course, they weren't coming back. That's Exodus 3:18. On the third day, plague 9, the plague of darkness in Egypt ends. And though the Israelites enjoyed light in their dwellings in the dark world, you do well. Pay attention to the light. On the third day, God descends to Mount Sinai in fire. Moses says, prepare yourselves in 3 days. The Lord will descend on Mount Sinai in fire with the sound of a shofar, that is the trumpet. He then reveals the 10 words, or the 10 commandments. Israel's constitution of new life as a nation after their resurrection from the death, that is the death of slavery in Egypt. Exodus 19:16-19, on the third day, Israelites are to purify themselves with water after being in contact with the dead. So you have a brand new life, Numbers 19:12. On the third day, After coming to the river and preparing themselves, the Israelites cross over death, that is the River Jordan, that leads to the Dead Sea, to enter and possess the land that the Lord their God is giving to them as a possession. That is the new earth. Type of the new earth. Joshua 1:11, Joshua 3:2. On the third day, Joshua's spies emerged from hiding from the Jerichoites, then returned to their commander, Joshua. So you know, you see that. They're going to return. We're going to return. And though we're here, we're protected while we're here. And the wicked one can't find us till we return. On the third day, there's a famine during David's reign, and it ends on the third day in 2 Samuel 21:1. And we don't have a famine yet, but it's coming. On the third day, a famine is called for by Elijah the prophet. That is after he prayed 3 days. Then the famine ends. 1 Kings 18:1. On the third day, after asking God for release, King Hezekiah is healed of his fatal disease and offers thanks in the temple. 2 Kings 25, these are all different threes. They all have spiritual implications. On the third day, Jonah is expelled from the fish's belly. Jonah 1:17, 2:1. Matthew 12:40. Matthew 16:21, 17:23, and several other verses. On the third day, after fasting, Esther puts on the royal apparel and enters the palace of the Persian king in order to thwart a death plot against her people, the Jews. That's Esther 4:16 and 5:1. In the Old Testament, it is the first of the four so-called perfect numbers. Three being divine perfection, seven being spiritual perfection, like the finished work of Christ, and 10 being ordinal perfection, and 12 governmental perfection. And I'll explain those some other time. I'm not going to go into those in any depth. The earth was separated from the waters on the third day. There are three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and three verses where the covenant name of Christ appears in the Old Testament, Yahweh, YHWH, the sacred tetragrammaton, Numbers 6, 24, 25, and 26. He says, my name is I Am. Three times in Isaiah's heavenly visit and vision, the seraphim cry, holy, holy, holy. Isaiah 6:3, Revelation 4:8. After the great flood, mankind descended from the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Three men, did you remember this? Three men announced to Abraham that his barren wife would bear a son. Three men came. Three. Why? I don't know. You figure it out. Genesis 18:14. Hebrews 13:2. That's why it says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. It refers right to this event. And Abraham was so gracious and hospitable toward these three strangers that brought him this good news. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Can that happen still? Sure, it wouldn't tell us that if it wasn't so. So Abraham was commanded to sacrifice his son after a three-day journey to Mount Moriah, which he saw from a distance, but 3 days, three-day journey. Genesis 22, 1-4. Baby Moses was hidden by his mother for 3 months. Exodus 2:1. And the adult Moses requested of Pharaoh that he let the people go on a three-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices. As I stated that before, Exodus 3:18. There were three divisions of the desert tabernacle, and later the temple in Jerusalem, the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies, which relates to true worship, worship according to spirit and truth, Exodus 27:9, 26:1, 26:30, 35-37, 31-34, 38:9-20, 21-31, Exodus 40, 1-33, and 1 Kings 6. 1-37. Did you get those all? Okay, good. the appearing of Christ at Sinai was on the third day after the people arrived, commemorating or looking forward to the resurrection of Christ. The law of Christ, the grace of Christ, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, which God is occupied with at all times. And that's what we're to be occupied with as well. God is mentioned three times in the Shema. Remember, they always had to say this at the beginning of all of their services in the on the Sabbath, in the temple, or in the synagogue. They say, Shema Israel, Adonai, God, Eloheinu, God, Adonai, God, Echav. What's it mean? It means, listen, Israel, the Lord is God, the Lord is unique, He's one. Who is it? Jesus Christ. They should know that by now, shouldn't they? Instead of denying that Christ is God or that Christ even exists. So the blessing in Numbers 23 and 24 is that all of them, all three members of the Trinity, will someday consummate the plan of God and indwell the believer in time. Oh, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Christ dwells in you. Don't you know that? Those who are united to the Lord are one spirit with Him. God indwells us in John 14:16. Father, Son, and Spirit. Spirit indwells you forever. So, three attributes of God mentioned in Exodus 33:18-19, that He's gracious, compassionate, merciful. I love that. All of those. That's grace upon grace. Of the seven holy feasts that they're commanded to observe, three are pilgrim feasts in which every man, 13 years and older, must present himself before God at the temple in Jerusalem. And, you know, Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the great fish. We discussed that. Jonah took a three-day journey across the city of Nineveh also. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus' ministry covered three Passovers. Did you know that? Three Passovers. John 2:14, 6:4, and 12:1. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. There's no coincidence in any of these things, because that was the period that demonstrates the perfection of God and the plan of God. Jesus was missing for 3 days when he was 12 years old. Where's Jesus? Oh, he's in his father's house. Should it surprise you? Doing his father's business, he was speaking with the Pharisees and the educated rulers, teachers, and their jaws were hanging on the floor. That's Luke 2:46. Jesus always took three men with him. Why? In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every matter is established, and he chose them because they were the weakest of them, Peter, James, and John, to the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17:1, Mark 2, Luke 9. On the third day, Jesus prophesied that he would rise from the dead. They didn't know this. They didn't remember this until he reminded them, and didn't understand the significance of it until the Holy Spirit came upon them on the day of Pentecost. Matthew 16:17-20, Mark 8:9-10, Luke 9:18. I'm going to give you the verses. You can't write them down anyway, and I don't have time because we're almost done. You know, Saul, when he was blinded on the road to Damascus, was blind for 3 days. Interesting. God had to do a deep work in him. And he couldn't see. He wasn't allowed to see anything out here so that he could see the Lord and experience his presence and receive his instruction without the distraction of seeing and hearing. So, the heavenly Jerusalem has three gates on each of its four sides. Why? Well, to let all men in. To let all believers in. It's big enough to house all believers. Big enough to house every person born alive in human history, because God did not predestinate anyone to perish. He desires all men to be saved. He does not desire men to perish. He says that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that is, to faith in Christ. Christians saw three as symbolic of the Trinity, the triune nature of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, of course. Matthew 28:19. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus said, go into all the earth, all the world. Three is also recognized as the number of the Holy Spirit, since he's the third person of the Trinity. So all of these things, examining other cases in Scripture where 3 days are significant in God's plan of salvation, is helpful in understanding Jesus' references to 3 days, where he compared his release from the earth to Jonah's experience in imprisonment, release from the great fish. Why was it a great fish anyway? Well, because guess who their god was? Dagon, the fish god. So here comes this big giant fish, and he opens his mouth and spews out a Jonah who's completely white because of the stomach contents and digestive juices of a whale or a fish. And do you think they were shocked? The whole country repented. Why do you think they did? Because of his powerful word? No, because of the power of God. And because that was such a powerful catalyst and sign of the reality of the things that Jonah would preach. And they all repented except for Jonah. He was sad that they repented. He wanted them to all die. They were the Assyrians, and he was a prophet to the 10 northern kingdoms under the reign of Jeroboam II. That is toward the end of the beginning of the end of their captivity and disbursement throughout the Assyrian Empire. So, that's why. Let's see here, I'm going to choose a couple of things and we'll close. So you get the point about the third day. Number three, very important. And what about the third day? 2 days, at the end of 2 days, and on the third day, we'll live before him. That's Hosea's prophecy. We did that before. So it could be very close. I say look up because your redemption draws nigh. I say make the most of your time upon the earth because the days are evil. I say walk in wisdom toward those who are without. I say pray. And I said, if you haven't listened to Tuesday night's message, I have testimony from some people, even in here, that it moved them greatly, that they'll never be the same. And maybe it's true. I don't know. God only knows. I know I'll never be the same because he showed it to me in my study. And look at it in regard to prayer for our nation. Look at it in terms of mercy for our nation. Do you think the Lord is short in the Department of Mercy? Do you think he loves Ephraim? Oh, does he ever? He's a pleasant child to the Lord. And he says, and I will have mercy on Ephraim. Now, what that means, only God knows entirely, but we can get certainly on in line with him and on the same page that he's on. And pray, pray, pray. There's no reason not to. You don't have because you don't ask. Oh, it's a foregone conclusion. Our nation's done. Oh, no. It's a foregone conclusion. Our next president will be... No, it isn't. You know, only bad things are going to happen. Not necessarily. See, God is the God of the impossible. And if it looks impossible, it's not impossible for him. It's only impossible for us, not for him. So, these are the end times. There's only one sign of his coming. We have it already. After 3 days. Hosea 6:2. After 3 days, we'll be raised and live before him. So guess what? It's almost over. So look up, for your redemption draws near. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these things. Vicki, if you would get ready, if I could have my ushers, please. Father, thank you for the word of truth. Thank you for the heads up. Thank you for the warning of Scripture, for the urgency it imparts, and the necessity for wisdom to reign supreme, and for us to get it at all cost. Wisdom is the most important thing, and if it costs you everything you get understanding. Thank you for the Word. Bless the offering in Jesus' name. Amen.
If we could all stand.
For the Lord our God, the Almighty.